about you lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there is a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Now, I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and chemtrail geoengineering that nucleates the ice so that it has massive boulders the size of an elephantitis-suffering man, you will go friggin' nuts if you don't have a sense of humour, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest, speaking of enormous big braveness, I was going to make some kind of a sexual reference there, but his name's Dane Wigginton from geoengineeringwatch.org. Now, continuing on from what I was setting up in the last segment, Dane, I wanted to get your take and an explanation of some of the tactics, characteristics, etc. of these chemtrail deniers. And in many cases, one has to think that they're either playing directly to a script, meaning they're probably paid, or they're so mind-controlled that they actually think that they're doing the right thing?
I think it's all the above. I think you have people that will simply do whatever they're told if it provides any sort of income, and we absolutely know on a lot of different subjects that involve large corporations or power structures are where they're being exposed. They hire, this is routine, I mean, they hire legions of people to create havoc on the internet. I mean, there's no secrecy about that. So I think that category is certainly here. We have people being paid to be quote unquote trolls, but we also have people who simply, I think, are in such fear over what they face that, and I know a few people in this category, and they feel somehow if they can convince me that what's real isn't real, then they feel more assured in their denial. They feel that perhaps maybe their fear will go away if they can just convince me it's not real. And maybe that'll help them convince themselves it's not real. So I think we have people in all categories, because I know people, Vincent, here in the quote-unquote environmental movements who've been the most apathetic of all with the fight against climate engineering. It's astounding, from the head Sierra Club officer for Northern California who's shown absolutely zero moral fortitude, to others that are, for example, trying to talk about climate change, how big is this category? We have the entire scientific community, or the climate science community, talking about climate change without discussing climate engineering first. That's an illegitimate discussion. You can't discuss climate anything without discussing climate engineering first. So, and I know some of these people, and I know honestly they're simply afraid to face this issue, afraid for a lot of reasons, afraid that because others are afraid and don't want to talk about this, that they'll stand out, that they'll be ridiculed, and or in other cases, they're afraid to face this issue psychologically because it's just overwhelming. There's a lot of different reasons for the fear, but in regard to the trolls, those that make it their mission to argue whatever we say, and with any of these people, if we said the earth was round, they would set about convincing us that it's flat. So they take a contrary position no matter what. And I would argue this, it does not pay to argue with the trolls. That's what they feed on. That's what they want. They want engagement. They want attention. They want to somehow take up your time. And I won't do it. I absolutely won't do it. I mean, if there's someone who has a legitimate question on something, that's different. I'll definitely take time there. I do it with whatever time I can spare on Facebook and with people who have legitimate questions, I try to answer, time permitting. I know I'm falling way behind right now because I'm just 12 hours a day is about half what I need, and I just can't keep up. But I do try to answer any sincere, legitimate questions or doubts. But those that are in the category of disinformation people or trolls, they're easy to spot. They're typically very, very aggressive And we have a psychoanalysis. Vincent, I'm not sure you've seen, there's recent psychoanalysis that shows conclusively those who question, those who think outside the box, are clinically, psychologically speaking, much more sane than those who tenaciously and aggressively toe the official narrative. Have you seen those studies?
Sorry about that. I was just muted for a second. They were reported by major universities, I think, and what's his name? Dr. Kevin Barrett, who's a stalwart of the 9/11 truth movement, looked at this and found within his own studies, I believe the it was upwards of 4,000 different websites and conversation threads and things of this nature where they were analyzing the mentality, emotional mood, reasoning ability, and intelligence of the participants, and they found overwhelmingly that those who toe the government line, as you said, are dumb, crazy, and aggressive, right?
And they are, in fact, yeah.
And the opposite side of the spectrum, people like us, seem to be calm, reasoned, produce evidence and historical examples. And, I think that's basically all I can remember of the study, but it is probably one of the most significant studies in terms of, finding out who's right and wrong in an argument these days on an arbitrary basis. I mean, it used to be, oh, if he's not towing the government line and what have you, he must be wrong, he must be crazy. And now I think more closer to the opposite is true, that anybody who's toting the government line on virtually any topic is probably a bit nuts.
Well, you know, this is the actual fact. If we really look at, you know, hard evidence on things. And here, the study, I'll read you the headline, new studies, conspiracy theorists, quote, sane, government dupes, crazy, hostile. First paragraph, recent studies by psychologists and social scientists in the U.S. and U.K. suggest that contrary to mainstream media stereotypes, those labeled, quote, conspiracy theorists appear to be saner than those who accept the official version of contested events. Well, you know, this is, I mean, again, when people can't recognize a building, like in the case of 9/11 being demoed in front of their face or brought down to the ground, and they believe that, in the case of Building 7, that a few fires in the first story brought the building down, you know, there's something seriously wrong with someone's ability to reason when we see that sort of thing happening. The same with the spraying. I mean, it couldn't be more obvious, could it, really? I mean, we have grid patterns one day and nothing the next, and how can deductive reasoning not kick in? And in so many cases, it hasn't. But I again would argue that the walls are closing in by the day and that people won't have the option of staying in denial much longer. So why not step up to the plate, make your voice heard now, and see what you can yet affect in this equation? And people could if they simply realize that they do have a lot more power than they've been told. And they have to exercise it. They have to exercise it. And so many people are choosing not to do that. And we have tools, Vincent. I think we've talked about this before on your show, but it's just been updated. Tools like SkyderAlert.com. That app has just been updated. George Barnes at the head of that. And that's a great tool people can use. We try to be a tool on Geoengineering Watch with updated information as fast as we can get it up. And, you know, these should be utilized by people in their own home computer, can send this data out to all those who don't yet know. And as things unravel, people are going to start connecting those dots. They're not going to have a choice again. And if we've planted those seeds of awareness of what's happening around them, then they'll have something to go on as their world starts to unravel around them, which it's doing right now, by the way. So again, this is a fight that's going to take all of us, Vincent, if we're going to have a chance at changing direction.
Mm. And I would say as well, just to kind of back up, I'm not to belay the point here, but block the chemtrail deniers. If they're crazy, if they're abusing you, if they're showing you evidence that isn't relevant and they're giving you links to scientific documents that are 700 pages long and saying you need to read all of them in order to be able to argue your case, or you need to be an aeronautical engineer, or you need to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If you've got common sense, you have more evidence than they will ever have in 1,000 years of academic study.
That's period. What it comes down to. I fully agree, and that's what our policy is too at Geoengineering Watch or on my Facebook pages. When someone's clearly simply trying to create arguments with irrational and really insupportable ideologies and aggressive behavior, they're gone. You know, I'm not going to waste my time. I don't want anybody on my pages wasting their time. And the best policy is to not feed the trolls when you recognize somebody in that category. Again, try to spot the sincere people that are asking sincere questions, and those should be answered. But those who are clearly just there to create dissension, who are clearly feeding off of that, they should be left to starve, period.
Yeah. And I have a great picture. I've gotten into the case of memes lately, Dane, and there's a great meme with SpongeBob. And it's SpongeBob, and he's got like his two hands as if they're creating a rainbow. And he goes, wah! He creates a rainbow with his hands from one hand to the other on the other side of his body. And it says, block, and the scum is gone. And
yeah, I wish, you know, that the... In the case of the climate engineering or anything that's of such gravity, the more progress you make, the more you can expect resistance, the more you can expect dogs to be called out. But that's all they are, little barking chihuahuas at our heels should be ignored, and people should just march on. And again, I don't think they can hide the climate engineering much longer, Vincent. Now, you guys are getting, what's your precipitation down your way? Are you getting anywhere near normal, or I haven't really... taking a hard look at New Zealand?
You know, to be honest, I don't know. All I can do is from personal experience living in the same city for nearly 3 decades, it's colder than it normally is, and there's less rain than there normally is. That's for this time of year. And over the last maybe 20 years or so, not 20, maybe 15, 16 years, I've noticed that the seasons have kind of rotated a little bit. Like, summer used to start around November. Now summer starts around January. All the seasons are just as long, except it seems that they've shifted a month or two.
Well, the cooler temps and less precipitation, that fits with aerosolization of the clouds and the moisture, because as they do the same thing here, as the ice nucleate in the clouds, it can cause a cold air to, you know, settle down. Cold air is dense. It comes down to the surface, but it does tend to diminish precipitation. Now, in the case of the U.S. West, in order to create enough cold air here for the parade of engineered snowstorms in the east, again, they've kept the high pressure locked in place over us most of the winter, so that we virtually fried all winter. In fact, the only cold we got here in Northern California, They pumped the jet stream right on top of us. They nucleated the hell out of the material. I mean, again, we tested with and found copious amounts of the elements we know are involved with ice nucleation in our precipitation. But we went from literally 75 degrees to temperatures, we went into only the high 20s, but plants that are normally hardy to 10 degrees got flash burnt. It's like a chemical cold flash burn. And it did a lot of damage to trees at temperatures that shouldn't have bothered them at all. And we're seeing the same type of flash damage, which this is what we'd expect. Again, I know you and I have discussed this issue before, Vincent. The 100,000 cattle that died in South Dakota last October, we've talked about that, I believe. And it's the same situation with those cows, where, you know, how can you possibly have 100,000 cattle die in South Dakota in October 4th, 2013, with temperatures in the 40-degree range? And snow, why is it snowing at 40? And how can it snow at any temperature when you have a stone throw away in Chicago, 85 degrees in rain? I captured all the maps. Otherwise, none of this data would mean anything if people couldn't see the proof. The proof is there. If people look up engineered snowstorms begin again, they'll see the maps, which are erased off the net now, but they're in that article. And again, they should ask themselves, their sense of reason, how could it possibly be cold enough to snow and kill 100,000 cattle in South Dakota on October 4th? With temperatures in Chicago of 85 in rain, Kansas City 89 degrees or 90 degrees in rain, how is that possible? Because that chemical reaction against the hide of the cattle, just like I mentioned on the endothermic reacting materials, can be far below zero. I mean, they could be 20 or 30 degrees below zero on the moisture that's actually touching their hides. Kills the cattle. The temperature's out. You know, the ambient temperatures aren't that cold. It showed, there's pictures of several days after this event, cattle laying around the mud all over, dead, stone dead. And this is geoengineering at its worst. And we're seeing the same sorts of changes in seasons, as you mentioned, Vincent. And in our case in Northern California, it's way hotter than normal. So where we see the cooler temperatures, a few places in the Southern Hemisphere, a few places in Antarctica, obviously some in New Zealand. In the Northern Hemisphere, we see the eastern half.
Well, we see that the changes are more pronounced in the United States. I would say that it's probably because the quantity of chemtrails being dumped on the Northern Hemisphere NATO countries is far superior to that being dumped in any of our Southern Hemisphere ones. I see pictures of crisscrossing patterns. I've seen long videos from people in, say, Copenhagen, who have just sat there for a whole day filming them, just chemtrail after chemtrail after chemtrail after chemtrail. It just makes this giant spider web. Never seen anything like that in New Zealand. At most, I've seen one at a time.
Really?
Over the urban area. We have reports from a friend of mine who was driving up to see me one time going through the middle of the North Island country, and he said that there were heavy, heavy spraying. He said multiple chemtrails out on there, but he didn't have any pictures, so I'm unable to confirm. And also, if the chemtrails have been sprayed just hours ago or whatever, it sometimes makes them a little bit more difficult to identify than the ones that are freshly laid.
It does, as they start to fan out, no question. That's interesting. You know, we certainly see days here, Vincent, where you might see 30, 40 parallel trails at once, which, again, back to the complacency of the American population, you know, how the hell can anybody not recognize that for what it
Maybe it's a self-reinforcing feedback loop when you've got a lot of aluminium in your bloodstream, lungs, and et cetera. It limits your thinking and capacity.
Certainly part of it, but we also see that If we look at 2,000 years ago in ancient Rome, as Rome burned, people were going to the Colosseum games and so forth, and there's always been an element of human apathy and complacency. But yeah, add aluminum, add fluoride, add a bunch of other things, and it gets a whole lot worse. But
well, back then they added lead.
Yeah, their drinking vessels were made out of lead. And that certainly didn't help the situation.
Hey, hold on a second. Maybe we've touched on to something that happens repeatedly throughout human history. The population goes from being rural, agricultural, family-based and whatever. It gets centralized. So does all the power and control and structure. Then the population gets dumbed down, poisoned. Then it collapses and they have to start all over again. Except, the exception at this point here is, of course, there won't be no starting over again. Ever.
If we stay on this track, that's exactly the case, and the data does support that. So what I was going to get at, I've been looking for a map I was going to ship you, but I'll have to look for it later. But the bottom line is, here's what we have on the ground surface temperature maps. Again, some cold zones in the Southern Hemisphere near you, Antarctica, the eastern half of the North American continent. Beyond that, it's hot. It's hot all over. And Siberia started to burn in early April this year. Regions that are normally frozen solid till mid-June, fire fronts, some of them a couple hundred miles wide. So we have a lot of things happening. We have a major El Nino brewing right now as they've held the high pressure over the west, which appeared to be to try to keep some of that heat buried in the ocean, which they appear to have successfully done for a couple of years. I don't know if you can call it a success in the full sense of the word, but that heat was building. You can only keep it down so long. Now that heat's coming out of the ocean in what looks like an unprecedented El Nino. So I think a lot of the confusion with people as to what the true state of the climate is and how much damage has been done, and again, so much of it by geoengineering itself, I think that's going to be clear to people very soon, because the manifestation of a lot of things, and most specifically these programs, is really starting to rear its head. And I think the coming weeks and months are going to be very revealing to people. And again, the fight that's going on right now with the Obama regime trying to talk about climate in many ways, and still omitting the elephant in the room of climate engineering. We're trying hard to cure that because, again, as I said, you can't have a discussion about climate without talking about climate engineering first. Can't do it. Not legitimately.
And that's how the game is played, really. Oh, this is really damaging to us. Let's just omit that.
Yeah. And at this point, though, it's causing a lot of...
It's like did you ever watch The Muppets as a kid?
Yeah, I did a bit. Yeah.
So, like, I think what's happening now is instead of Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy, the Muppets are actually the politicians and the scientific reporters and stuff like that. And so they're just kind of, you know, Comet defraud, more like.
Trying to get your arms around it, and I struggle with this a lot, that you have tens of thousands of people in academia, and really the climate science related area, none of which seem to have enough spine to tell the truth right now. And that's an incredibly dismal statement for humanity. And let's look at the nuclear issue. I mean, we know we have Fukushima, 3 reactors in China syndrome right now, and yet there's almost no data on that. And the vast majority of people around the globe, even a lot of people in Japan, are oblivious to the fact that this is a spewing nuclear volcano with no end in sight, and it's completely ignored. And then they slate Tokyo for the next round of Olympics with Fukushima right there. The degree of human insanity is beyond comprehension. At the same time, we have this nuclear cataclysm unfolding. Obama is slated $6.5 billion for building more new plants in Georgia. So it's astounding, truly. What's happening right now and on planet Earth and the complacency of the population is astounding.
The words of Alec Guinness on Star Wars spring to mind as Obi-Wan Kenobi. Who's the bigger fool, the fool or the fool who follows him?
That's a great quote, too. I got to write some of these down, Vincent. I don't laugh much, and you make me laugh. But anyway, these are great quotes, and they're you know, it's very telling of what we face right now. But I think as certain things can't be fit under the rug, and we have right now, I know this is greatly controversial, but I will stand my ground in this because this is what the data states. A lot of people believe, for example, that the Arctic ice is expanding. This is a lie. It's an absolute lie. And as of today, it's at all-time record lows. Why does this matter? Because at the moment, they can't hide that. At the moment, the lies, for example, of last September, when people were told the ice had expanded tremendously and that everything was recovering, at the point in time that becomes visible, at the point in time people get over the fact that we all hate Al Gore, myself included, at the point in time people realize that somebody has lied. When if the Arctic ice is gone, the summer ice, within the next year or two, people will know that somebody's been doing a lot of lying. And I think that will help expose the climate engineering. Once the climate engineering is exposed, I believe that the power structure, once it gets even close to that point, the power structure is going to do something, Vincent, I believe. And whether that's a false flag or something in that category, we can all speculate. But I would argue they're going to drop some shoe. And Vincent, I'm sure you saw that the USDA was authorizing 40 caliber submachine guns.
Well, no.
Yeah, well, it's posted on our site. I looked at the USDA site myself. You know that Homeland Security ordered 2.2 billion rounds of 40 caliber hollow point, right?
I think it was something like that, closer to 1.4 billion or something like that, which
that
is approximately 3 hollow point rounds, which kill everybody that gets shot with them because they splinter and fragment. They're actually illegal under the Geneva Conventions for every man, woman, and child in the United States.
That was the initial order, 1.4 billion.
And actually, that was also in tandem with another order for, I think it was a number of millions of targets in the shapes of children, babies, pregnant women, and the elderly.
All that was documented, and I think the total combined orders were it's pushed up to 2.2 billion rounds. Now, the USDA orders, and this is on our posted on our website and others, but USDA authorized the acquisition of 40 caliber submachine guns for their employees if they met the requirements and felt it was needed. So here we have people that are basically agricultural inspectors. Why do they need machine guns? And this, all these things should be massive red flags for the American population. I mean, this is the power structure becoming more desperate for all the reasons I just outlined. There's from every direction, there's converging catastrophes that will help expose them. The climate situation is one that certainly will help expose the power structure. And I would argue, back to climate engineering, the moment that's exposed, the whole paradigm changes. The moment the population realizes they've all been sprayed like rats, their health is permanently compromised. I don't care how healthy you think you are right now, you're not as healthy as you would have been. Plain and simple fact. We've all been exposed to this stuff, and there's no getting it out of our systems completely, period. The environment's been horribly hammered. The ozone layer is falling apart. And again, if the spraying doesn't stop for any one of a number of reasons, from the methane expulsion to the ozone, it's game over on planet Earth. It's that simple. Any one of these issues, no ozone layer, no life on Earth. The methane expulsion continues to any significant degree, no life on Earth. The oceans are dying. If they continue in that track, no life on Earth. So from a lot of different directions, the walls are definitely closing in, and the climate engineering is, there's no question about this, Vincent. The climate engineering has derailed the planet's life support systems, period. It's rendering the very thin layers of atmosphere that sustain life on Earth dysfunctional, and that all links to the overall life support systems being completely hijacked. Can't continue much longer. Simply,
which
can't.
Is ironically why we need to pull the plug on these programs and go to a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Dane Wigington with more cheerful and encouraging information.
We'll finish on a positive note, though, for your listeners, so they know what they can do if they really want to change direction.
If you say so. We'll be right back, folks.
See Dr. Wen in there? He's explaining to that family that something went wrong and that the patient died. He's going to tell them what happened, he's going to say he's sorry, and then he's going back to work. You think anybody else in that room's going back to work today? And that is why we distance ourselves. That's why we make jokes. We don't do it because it's fun. We do it so we can get by. And sometimes, because it's fun. But mostly it's the getting by thing.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with the Y, because it's the most important question. Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news. And I do think that we need to be cognizant, ladies and gentlemen, of the importance of this show, not to toot my own trumpet per se, but just more to the fact that it is one of the ways where you can ingest this very valuable, very dangerous, very volatile, very depressing information without experiencing quite the fear factor that you ordinarily would, because it's broken up with incredibly lame puns and other more commonplace sobriquets. So Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org is my very special guest, and we're going to try and leave this on a positive note. So Dane, tell us how we're all going to die and how great it is.
Positive is an objective term, and we'll have to frame that in a certain way, Vincent. But the bottom line is, if people imagine a certain paradigm and they're stuck on that paradigm, then that always leads to angst, right? I mean, all the ancient traditions teach that if we're locked into a certain ending or a certain result from anything we do, That's never a good frame of mind to be in. And I would argue that whatever we face, and we face great challenges, that the more committed we are to facing those, then the better state of mind we'll be in. No question about that. And right now is a time where people find out what they're made of, truly, what sort of moral fiber they have, if you will. So if people simply faced this issue with a sense of priority and a sense of mission, I think that the fear leaves one largely. And if you just accept the totality of what's around you and don't try to filter it and just focus on moving the ball forward every single day. When I get up, Vincent, and I've said this a lot because it's truly how I feel, it's like waking up into a B-horror movie that you just can't turn off. You know, the channel's stuck. And you see this stuff going on around you, and a lot of people that are in your circle don't. But nevertheless, you know it's real, you know it's going on, and you know the results will be so cataclysmic soon enough that they can't ignore it. So in the meantime, what do? You sow seeds. And this has been the case with a lot of people that I've introduced this subject to, and I don't know if you can take this as a good thing to say, but I do. They come up 6 months later and tell me that they thought I was nuts to begin with, but they realize this is going on, and now they're passing out DVDs and flyers. They're helping. They're woken up. And I would argue, too, that the effort to wake people up matters in and of itself, doesn't it? I mean, for every person we help to expand their consciousness, expand their field of vision, doesn't that have to matter by itself? For me, it does. If all my efforts added up to waking up one person, I would feel the effort was not in vain, was worthwhile. But in fact, if we all wake up, no matter how dark the horizon is, and it's damn dark, there's no arguing that. You know, from Fukushima to the coming economic collapse, which is absolutely inevitable, it's close. The whole societal system is like a snake eating its own tail right now. But no matter how bad it looks, if everybody really is helped to wake up, you know, given the tools to force them to wake up, then we could change the flavor of what we face, even at this late hour. If we could stop the climate engineering, the Earth could respond on its own. The hydrological cycle could ensue. Rain would be ferocious in places. And I know that's not good all the time, but overall, that's what makes things grow. When things grow, they absorb carbon. When carbon's absorbed, it starts to regain the planet's equilibrium again. And when the ozone layer is allowed to restore itself, we don't have this literally lethal UV bearing down on us, which is killing everything from us to the plankton. So people can do a tremendous amount. They don't have to go out into marches or attend meetings, or they can simply learn about what's going on. And they should learn, because a lot of people in our movement stopped learning a while back. They have conclusions based on preconceptions and ideology, and that's not an accurate compass heading. It's not. You have to reset your heading often based on new data, based on what's happening on the ground. So if people spent the time and focused on this and weren't trying to fit it in between golf games and episodes of American Idol, we'd be in a lot better shape, and we'd have this battle a lot further along. So I hope people consider their priorities, help us in this fight, turn off those Muppets shows that we talked about, and start making their voice heard.
Yeah, that's right. Don't commit to fraud. Don't watch the Muppet show no more. I just remember there's an old saying, the key to happiness is really, really low expectations. And I was talking about somebody was telling me, oh, Vinny, don't go out and protest chemtrails, you know, there's no point, you'll never accomplish anything. And I go, well, it depends what you hope to accomplish, okay? So if you're telling me don't go out and protest because it won't accomplish anything, and meanwhile what you're doing is not protesting or anything but simply discouraging people to do it, and you're actually still sitting at home doing nothing, who's going to accomplish more? Me, who organizes, goes to the protest, films it, uploads it to YouTube, and interviews people that are of this a particular ilk and raising the issue, and having that available for public consumption when no other outlet in New Zealand does it in that format, in that way, I think, regardless of what the protest itself accomplishes, simply acknowledging that the protest happened and putting out the information that was said at said protest is an accomplishment in and of itself that is worth doing, worth going to, worth recording, and worth uploading, right? Because it actually does make a difference. Because one person who'd be watching this would also think, as the previous person did, oh, the protest accomplished nothing. But then they get encouraged by seeing people who, despite the fact that protests may not accomplish anything in and of themselves, they still go and do it anyway. And they meet up with all these really nice, friendly, cool, like-minded people that, in many cases, they make long-term friendships with, as opposed to sitting at home, alone, unhappy and upset about the things that are going down that you're doing nothing in any way to stop. Now, people don't wake up in that format. You don't really wake up until you become activated, woken up. And I feel that a lot of the bulk of my listening audience are not quite at that activated sense yet. Have you decided to quit your job and go out be a full-time activist like I did, or like so many others have in the truth movement? Because their moral compulsion made them do it. They couldn't see a way out except to do the right thing. Has that happened to you yet? If the answer is no, you have yet to wake up. I'm not trying to wake you up. I'm trying to make sure that you don't go back to sleep. I'm trying to help you realize that there is a cup of coffee waiting for you as soon as you decide to get out of bed and go to work against the New World Order. There are people that will encourage you along the way. There is always a way. Always.
There is, and doing the right thing should matter because it's the right thing to do. Period. Period. I mean, what other foundational piece can you build on? And it does matter anyway. For every person we wake up, it matters. And those that are going about their job right now, Vincent, thinking they're planning for some retirement in 5 years or 10 years, and they don't want to rock their boat, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If we look at the trajectories right now, again, of just the global economic system, the fact that the major car companies are buying their own cars, there's massive car lots around the globe loaded with unsold brand new cars that they just keep stacking up in order to keep the wheels turning with printed Fed fiat money or central bank money. This is fact. I just posted an article on this. I'm not sure. Have you seen the pictures of the massive, massive car lots?
I did. The millions of cars that are like brand new that they can't sell because they're too expensive, and they won't sell them at a cheaper rate because they wouldn't be able to sell them at an expensive rate in the first place. So what do? They have millions of cars which people could be using to facilitate commerce and transport around the entire world. You know, you can imagine how many villages and things of that nature in disparate parts of the world that could really, really benefit from having a Land Rover of their own that they didn't really have to pay for. And considering these guys are just letting all this stuff literally go to rust, I reckon a great charity could be facilitated whereby they simply provide the free vehicles as long as somebody else transport them to people in need in parts of the world that don't currently have vehicles to do that kind of thing for them.
Well, you know, there's no plans to do anything like that. And even if they did, you know, there's a lot more elements to the equation. I mean, you have a decrease in hydrofuel extraction right now. I mean, right now the turn of the century, 1900, we had one barrel of oil could extract 100 out of the ground. Now it's 1 in 7. In America, you have this huge fracking boom, which they're trying to scatter around the country, which is a total disaster. And the fracking wells taper off very quickly. It's all smoke and mirrors, absolute smoke and mirrors. So it's like every single card is being played to try to keep this facade going a little bit longer at the cost of eliminating any chance for a future for anyone. So, you know, people need to wake up, look at the bigger picture, and accept certain realities. And I don't think it's a sign of one loving one's child when I know people like this who they want the party to go on no matter what. If they can keep their consumptive lifestyle and their denial of climate engineering and their head in the sand 6 more months at the cost of their children's future, they're okay with that. Or it seems they're okay. They're acting like they're okay because they're not doing a damn thing to protect their kid's future. And I asked, how can you look your child in the eye? How can anyone look their child in the eye and sit the bench on climate engineering, which is literally poisoning every breath your child takes? How is that possible? How is it possible to say you love your child when you can go watch them play games or soccer outside or whatever they're doing, knowing every breath they take is laden with toxic metals and chemicals, and you're doing nothing about it? How is that an expression of love for your child?
I had a conversation like this about somebody, and they're like, oh, well, about cancer specifically. He says, well, everything causes cancer, you know, there's no worry. And I said, yeah, but just because, let's say, death is inevitable, I don't see people who have that same fatalistic perspective rushing to put their mouth on the end of a revolver. Okay, just because things are bad and things are coming down on you, whether you like it or not, doesn't mean you should charge headlong into them and try and consume as much as you possibly can to facilitate your death faster.
Fully agreed. Fully agreed. And just, you know, that's just a person's excuse for their lack of moral fortitude and responsibility. Because if you love your child, you don't look the other way on an issue like this. You can't. And I can only hope a lot of people start to take a good hard look in the mirror, because if they do, they're not going to like what they see. And the people that are just rationalizing their selves out of taking any position in such a dire fight on which all depends, there's no excuse for that, simply no excuse. So people need to wake up, step up, join the fight. And again, from anybody's location, you don't need to go anywhere or attend anything necessarily at all. Just learn some basic facts so you're not shooting from the hip. Arm yourself with credible data. On Geoengineering Watch, we have links on the upper left. One's called Activist Suggestions. One's called a Flaming Arrow link, which has a pre-packaged message, intro letter, and also other important links in it that you can send out to anybody whose email you identify. I do this all the time, Vincent, where when I see, for example, a hard-hitting article on the climate, and there's lots of those right now, lots. You know, you saw the article that the West Antarctic ice sheet was collapsing, right? You probably saw that, 15 feet of sea level rise locked in, blah, blah, blah. When I see people writing about the climate and they're not mentioning climate engineering, I try to find a contact for them and ask them why they're not addressing the elephant in the room of climate engineering.
Oh, my God. How can they... You have the same exact approach that I do to people who talk about city planning and things like that and don't mention Agenda 21.
There you go. You know, the bottom line is there's a lot of lying by omission going on, and I try to hold these people accountable. And that's, again, our site, disinformationdirectory.com, to expose people that, in fact, it just had a big report written. Somebody must have been paid a fair amount for this one out of the UK by a PhD. Geoengineering Watch made the top of the list for their singling out of those who were focused on the, quote, conspiracy theory of climate engineering. So I guess that means we're on track and doing our job. This lady, clearly, she mentioned conspiracy theory 150 times in this piece. And
oh, yeah. You know, whenever they repeat it over and over again, you know they're full of crap, eh?
They are, but we actually found a photo of her. Looks like a mugshot. It's up on our disinformation directory with her email, so the public can let her know what they think of her disinformation. But nothing linked to any source of her work per se that would allow her to spread her disinformation, but to expose her as a person. In this case, you know, we felt the disinformation site has done this, and so some of these people, like in the case of David Keith, for example, I just did a article just posted about an hour ago on him. A lot of people in this movement know who David Keith is. He's the world's most recognized geoengineer, and he's out trying to do some conditioning for the public. Keith is a very twisted individual. I mean, I've had the displeasure of meeting him and his glaring at me for 15 minutes when he put his leg down his mouth in the science conference that I attended in L.A. that's on film. It's on this article, too. The film clips are on this article of David Keith basically admitting that they've done no studies about aluminum. Could terrible things happen tomorrow? We don't know. What kind of a statement is that from a scientist who's proposing dumping 20 million tons of this stuff in the atmosphere every year? Gee, we don't know. Bad things could happen. We don't have a clue. And, you know, this should give an idea to people of the cavalierness with which all this stuff's done. The power structure doesn't have to answer to anybody. People ask why, you know, why are they doing this? Because they can. Because they can. Because nobody is getting up off their backside to stop them, you know, and this is what it's going to take. The population is going to have to realize the water's coming over the deck of the ship right now. It's around our ankles, and it's not just going to magically go away. We have to get up, make our voice heard, and turn this thing around. It's going to take every single one of us. Not going to happen by itself.
Yeah, I think it's commitment, you know. my grandfather was once asked by my sister, you know, why did you marry Nanny? And they worked at a mental institution together as a pair of nurses. And he says to her, well, when you're working in a mental institution, it's all about commitment.
Well,
and this is what I feel is probably the driving force behind resistance is simply commitment to cause. The whole, no, sorry, not going to be discouraged. I know that I'm correct. I know that I'm doing the right thing. I have the evidence and you don't. And I know that you're lying and I can prove it. So you think I'm going to be discouraged? You think I'm going to just like sit back and watch you deceive the population carte blanche? Think I'm just going to think, oh, you know what? I'm just going to have a martini today and sit back and enjoy life while I'm getting sprayed by chemtrails and not think about the consequences of my inaction? You know, people are so afraid of the consequences of their actions. I fear more the consequences of inaction. Don't you, Dane?
Exactly. And why did Snowden do what he did? I mean, I just saw a reiteration of this today on the news that what Snowden said was, you know, he was not so much afraid of the consequences of his actions as the fact that he couldn't face himself if he didn't do this. He couldn't sleep at night. And that's the epitome of human existence. If a person can reach that point where doing something for the common good matters more than anything else, than your own fears, and when a person gets to the point where they realize everything in their world can be taken from them except their honor, except the correct use of their own will, period, what else could matter more? What else could give a person more inner courage than doing the right thing, period, for the right reason? And Vincent, this is the time when we all find out what we're made of. This stuff isn't going to magically go away. Shoving your head in the sand is not going to change it. But standing up and making your voice heard might make a difference. So, again, right now, if everybody, anybody in your audience wants to help the situation, I encourage you to learn what's going on, look at the bigger picture. We're trying to post also, even though Geoengineering Watch, I focus on the climate engineering exclusively, but there are other issues that do connect and do matter. Fukushima, what's happening in Ukraine, there are huge issues that we post on as well on the most key points, so people can have some idea of the bigger picture, how it fits together, and the more clue they have, the more effective they'll be at communicating with others. And if people simply focus their efforts and didn't try to live this sort of facade life while the house is crumbling around them, they'd be a lot more effective. Focus on the obvious priority. Let the other things go. Join us in this march. We need people. I spoke at the March Against Monsanto, by the way, in San Francisco a week and a half ago. And with those people there, and the GMO issue is a big deal. It matters. But it doesn't matter as much as climate engineering. That's a fact. And I'm not choosing climate engineering because it's more comfortable for me or I just like it more. The bottom line is the greater priority. So if the planet doesn't support life, GMO foods aren't going to matter much. And I hope the people in that movement, and I care for their cause, I do, but I hope that they prioritize with us and that if we don't have any organic anything at this point because they're absorbing the particulates from the spraying, then we need to stop the spraying first. If the soil won't produce anything but a GMO seed, then we need to stop this spraying first. If every breath we take, we're sucking this stuff in and it's making us cognitively less functional, then we need to stop this spraying first. If it's helping to migrate the Fukushima radiation all over the planet more effectively because it's disrupting the hydrological cycle, we need to stop the spraying first. All these things stack up to an obvious priority. And I hope people in the more activist communities start to work together in this way and not infighting. And we see on the end of the collective insanity, they work like ants. They just work together like absolute ants and toward their goals of the kinds of things they do. You know, they tend not to go different directions like the more progressive communities do. They tend to go, they're just like getting butterflies to go the same direction. It's tough, but I hope that changes.
Like a military employed disinformation agents on the media, you know.
Hello, this is Butch Meathook. This is Butch Meathook here. Lies and omission is my mission.
And they are, right?
Yeah. Let's look at the media. How coordinated are they? I mean, they're completely coordinated. You turn on every station, same message, same message. It doesn't matter. You're on CNN, you're on Fox, you're on MSNBC. Same message, same time of day for the same duration. It's almost
with the exact same words.
Exactly. Exactly. The same dog and pony shows all the time. And then you have, again, people like Amy Goodman. I don't know if you know who she is.
Oh, yeah. Democracy Now.
You know what? And I can't imagine how she can face herself in the mirror anymore. And I've met her twice. I supported her show once upon a time. I mean, at great personal financial expense. But now I know people who work with her. I know she's been hijacked by the Ford Foundation. She won't talk about 9/11. She sure as hell won't talk about geoengineering. And so what kind of message is she giving? You know, and how does she convince herself that she's telling the truth when she's telling a half-truth? So, you know, it's all or nothing.
Can I say, I was out drinking at a friend's party last weekend, and one of my listeners and donors was there, and he asked me, Vinny, if somebody came up to you and offered you, say, $100 million to just stop doing what you're doing, would you do it? And I said, yeah, absolutely. I'd take the money, and then I'd give like $1 million to this group over here that needs some financing, and that group over there. And he's like, no. With a specific clause in the contract that if you take the money and you bow out, you bow out for good. You don't support anybody in the truth movement. You totally get away with it altogether. $100 million, yes or no? Thought about it for like 2 seconds. I was like, I can't. I couldn't, you know, I mean, it's like, what the hell use is $100 million if you're freaking dead? You know, I couldn't see myself ever taking that offer, even if it's for real. You know, this isn't me just going on about freaking nonsense. However, there is the other proviso. If I was forced into it, if I was forced to take the money, or die kind of thing. I think probably self-preservation might kick in, because what use is not taking the money if you're dead? You know, it's like it's such a hard thing to think about. But at the end of the day, I just couldn't do it. You know, the consequence is too high. Now,
as I said, this is the time when we find out what we're made of, and that clearly states what you're made of. And I, if people let go of what they are trying to value, all this material facade that's around them, and they examine what matters, and they look in their child's eyes, they look at their self in the mirror, figure out what really matters, figure out what they really own. All they own is their honor. That's it. Nothing else. Everything else can be taken, and nobody can take that from us unless we give it up. Don't give it up. You know, stand up, join the fight, and see exactly what you can affect, even at this late date, at this late hour.
By all means, ladies and gentlemen, maintain your independence, okay? It's a two-step process. Firstly, you've got to make sure that you're not dependent on anyone else so that you can do the right thing. And secondly, if you see other people that really can't do something by themselves, but it's nothing to you, like it's real easy, help them. And then when something comes across you that you're kind of unable to deal with, somebody will help you. And that's how the activism scene kind of works, all right? That's how networking is supposed to function. It's a two-step program. You've got to meet people that are good for you, and you've got to also hook up your other acquaintances and networks together if they will work well. You know what I'm saying? You've got to take some obligation. You've got to have some sense of community, some sense of longevity, some sense of honor among each other. In a time of perpetual deceit and dishonor, that in and of itself will change the system in a ripple effect way that you cannot perceive the results. How many ways are the New World Order enslaving you? Every single way possible. So how many ways are there to resist the New World Order? Any way you can. Thank you very much, Dane Wigginton. Geoengineeringwatch.org is his website. Also, ladies and gentlemen, bear in mind, again, a reminder, this is a bulk listener-supported broadcast, so please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and make a donation today, either through the PayPal or the Kiwi Bank accounts. We do very much value those people who give regularly, the $5 or $10 a month, to keep the show on the air on a perpetual basis. It's been really helpful recently, but unfortunately we don't quite have enough coin to make the rent this week. So I hope that I can rely on your support, and in 5 years I've always been able to, and I don't think this will be an exception. Love you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for supporting me, and thank you, Dane, for coming on and sharing some of your valuable time, wisdom, and all those other things that you love to do.
Thank you, Vincent. Thanks for all you do, and let's all keep marching together and realize time is short. We need to make our time count. Every day matters.
We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Think on it. Think on it, hon.